Ever since he arrived on the boxing scene in 2001, Dmitry Salida has been a role model and inspiration for Jewish boxing fans across the world, including myself. And it's an absolute honor to invite him to the park to talk about his career and everything that's going on in his life, the trials and tribulations that he's had to deal with to become one of the young rising stars of the sport. So first off, Dmitry, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. And, you know, it's really, really exciting to have you at the park today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Okay, so let's get right to it. Your name has been in the news in the last couple of days. It kind of came out in the press that you had severed ties with Lou DiBella and DiBella Entertainment. What led to the kind of departure between your camp and his?
Well, basically, we had agreed to the separation. You know, the relationship has been good for the part that I was able to fight in New York City and able to build and strengthen my fan base that I had here. So now basically, you know, the plan is to fight a national televised fight. When I first turned pro, I was with Top Rank and. I fought mostly on the West Coast, but they were televised fights on nationally televised networks. When I signed with Lou, I fought in New York City, where I developed a fan base, but the fights were televised on an East Coast network. So now the goal would be to bring the two together and, you know, the fan base with the big fights and the big televised dates.
When you look back at the relationship with Lou from the time you signed with him after leaving Top Rank till today, are you happy or disappointed with the way things turned out?
You know, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a good reason, is to learn from and to grow from. So, like I said to you before, Broadway boxing was good for me at a certain point in my career to strengthen and to reinforce my fan base in New York City, you know, it was very good actually for a certain point in time, and you know, now the plan is to get the bigger fights and to get on the bigger dates and, you know, fight the best fighters in the world.
And now, have you been talking to any other you know, organizations out there to represent you? And, you know, maybe go back to Top Rank. There's a whole bunch of others that you can possibly sign with. Have you spoke to anyone since severing ties with DiBella?
I've briefly spoken with a few different promoters, but you know, I think I'm going to probably stay a free agent for a fight or two. And we'll see how, you know, how things work out and how it plays itself out. You know, I'm very interested in fighting Gavin Reese for the WBA junior welterweight title. I'm currently ranked number 3 in WBA, and it's possible that that fight might be easier to make now that I'm not signed with the promoter. So it's something that I'm very, very interested in, you know, hopefully, if that fight takes place, I'm very interested in unifying the division and then moving up to welterweight.
Yeah,
okay. I know that Ricky Hatton has spoke about wanting to fight in New York City, and I think that with his English fans, with my fans, I think it would be a huge fight in New York, and something that I want to happen in the near future.
Wow, interesting. So you think that you're ready right now to kind of test your strength against Ricky Hatton?
Yeah, I'd like to fight Gavin Reese. I think, being that he's from Great Britain, he's from Wales, he does kind of have resemble the style. You know, he would kind of be practice for Ricky Hatton, and you know, with a belt on the line, that fight would become much more attractive.
All right, so the last time boxing fans saw you actually competing was in March of 07, and now we're in January of 08. That's seemingly a lifetime in the sport of boxing. Why haven't you fought since then?
Certain fights that were planned on happening didn't materialize. A few fights didn't materialize, then I was supposed to fight in September, and I hurt my hand in training. Then after that, I was supposed to fight Gavin Rees in Wales, November 3rd, on a Kawasaki Kessler bill, and that didn't happen. So, you know, just a lot of fights that didn't materialize. But I, you know, I'm proud of myself for staying in the gym and being in shape, and you know, now I'm very focused to get back into the ring. I think that over this time I've got stronger physically and certainly mentally. I've matured very much, and I'm just very, very excited about getting back in the ring. I feel like in the karate movies, you know, they have the karate monks in the old Chinese movies. They go away to the karate trainers, to the forest, and they train secluded for a while, and then they come back better than ever. So that's how I feel.
So, okay, so as things stand right now, when could we expect you to fight? Like, what kind of timetable are you looking at? You mentioned the Gavin Rees, maybe, or any type of fighter out there. Is it maybe March, February? What are we looking at?
Well, as of now, we're looking for a fight in mid to late February to get back. I would like to fight, even though that I haven't been in the ring for a while, and you know, many different people saying that I should take a fight to shake off the cobwebs, so to say. But I'm very anxious. I want to take on you know, fight someone that'll put me back in position, and fight someone that'll get me respect. So that's what I'm looking to do. Hopefully in February.
One fighter out there that we think would generate a lot of interest, especially in the New York area where you're from, would be Pauly Malignaggi. There's always been some talk of you two guys sort of butting heads. Has that ever been brought up to you, a fight against a fellow Brooklyn fighter?
That fight has been it has been spoken about, but you know, it never materialized, because at the time that we spoke about it, Pauly had to make a mandatory against Ngojo, and he has a rematch clause with Endo. So you know, now that he took care of the obligation with Ngojo, he still has to fight Endo, and you know, I think that that's a fight in the near future that can be made, that can be potentially a very big fight, especially in this area. And, you know, I think it'll be great for boxing.
Okay, so let's talk a bit about, you know, your career up to this point, because, you know, like I said, I've been following your career for many years now. There's the documentary on you, but I think a lot of fans are going to start to, you know, whether or not they're Jewish or not, really doesn't matter anymore. They're just starting to recognize you for your talents. Well, as an Orthodox Jew who boxes, what are the kind of obstacles that you've had to face in your career, particularly now that you're more in demand, more popular, people wanting you to fight on bigger cards? What are the type of things that you've had to deal with?
Well, you know, it's funny, because some people that have never seen me fight, they, you know, because we're all human beings, and this has been, it's happening less now, but it still happens. People can associate, you know, oftentimes can associate, you know, a white boy and a Jewish boy, especially who's religious, with boxing. You know, it's kind of an oxymoron, you know, for me to be in the ring. So, you know, I've had people sort of say underestimate me. You know, that's why now I'm looking for signature fights that will put me on top of my division. You know, sometimes scheduling is a problem. For example, you know, obviously Friday night fights on ESPN or Showbox can happen. But, you know, now that I'm fighting as a main event fighter, most of the fights are started night after sundown anyway, so... You know, so it makes it a lot more easier and better for the networks, you know, to make it happen. Actually, you know, one of the reasons why initially I was interested in the relationship with DiBella was because he had Glory Boxing on Thursday night, and you know, it helped me, because I was able to fight quality competition in New York City and strengthen and develop a fan base.
Has there ever been a time where you were offered a fight that would have definitely, you know, moved you up in the boxing rankings, progressed you in your career, but had to turn it down due to the fact that you won't fight on Shabbat on Friday night or Saturday night?
You know, there were dates that were in discussion, very preliminary conversation. But once, because people that don't, they are not involved in it, don't, you know, they don't understand, they don't think about it. But, you know, it's never been brought up to a point. Once the other party knew that I don't fight, that the fight would be on a Friday night or early on Saturday, you know, they understood that there was no way that I was going to fight, and it was never really. So I can't say that they was offered past the initial date point. You know.
You know, like 100 years ago or so, a Jewish boxer such as yourself was not exactly a special thing. I mean, they were actually the norm. Now things are a little bit differently. When you look at the boxing landscape and your place in it, especially your place in history and the way that you've sort of generated fans who might not be boxing fans, but due to your background and your beliefs, follow you and really admire you, do you feel any kind of pressure that you're sort of, you know, the face of this nation? I mean, Charles Barkley once said that he's not a role model, but you, in fact, you have to consider yourself a role model to, you know, Jewish sports fans. Do you view yourself as such?
I mean, I do understand that, you know, that people look up to athletes, and I do understand that I stand out because of my background, and boxing is a very much ethnically driven sport in terms of fan base. So, you know, I understand that there's certain pressure. You know, sometimes society has a way of idolizing or putting too much pressure on athletes, and, you know, you know, we're just regular human beings who happen to have talent in a certain sport, you know. So I try to do the best that I can do. But you know, I'm human, and I hope I don't make too many mistakes. But you know, I'm gonna make some.
We've heard all the stories about when you came from the Ukraine to Flatbush. You know, the taunts that you received at school, and which sort of was the catalyst in you getting involved in the sport of boxing. And now that you've cemented your place in the sport and you're kind of climbing up that proverbial ladder, have you ever experienced any form of anti-Semitism, whether it was from a promoter, a fellow fighter, fans in attendance, you know, towards you?
Listen, anti-Semitism is part of the world. You know, it's part of human nature. You know, anti-Semitism, racism, it's something that people have inherent in them, and you know, sometimes I think education is the best thing for it, but at certain times there's nothing that you can do about it. So I certainly felt quite a few times, you know, whether it was in a joking way or in a more serious way or in a hateful way, I'm smart enough and have matured enough over the years to notice when someone is looking at you, so to say, from the side of their eye. So every once in a while it happens, but it's, you know, it's no big deal. You know, I think that all I have to do is train hard and perform well, and I have the support of many people where I live, and you know, it gives me strength when I go into the ring.
With any kind of you know, accomplishments and accolades, there's always detractors out there. Have you received any type of heat, so to speak, from other Orthodox Jews, other members of your community that have said maybe that they don't like what you're doing, that you know, you have the Star of David on your shorts or whatever, that you don't think that you're representing the religion right? Has that ever come up?
It has never really come up. If someone that would bring it up would not truly be a religious person and would not understand really what religion is about. I come from a non-religious background. You know, I'm an observant Jew. It might have been more difficult to understand if I come from a family of, you know, of rabbis and yeshiva students. But I come from a regular Russian family that didn't know anything about Judaism, and I was one person that was affected, one of many people that was affected by Chabad which is an outreach organization that helps bring Jews close to Judaism. And you know, you're supposed to, every human being has a certain talent that God has given him, and you're supposed to try and serve God and make a world a better place through the talent that you have. So you know, I feel that boxing is my talent, and you know, I have to make the best of it.
All right, so let's talk about you know, the future now. I actually heard this rumor that I wanted to get cleared up by you. Were you ever offered a fight against Arturo Gatti?
No. My name was briefly mentioned, but it didn't go. But it did materialize for his last fight in July.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've heard that you were offered the fight, and for whatever reason, might have turned it down. Seemed like a...
I was never ever offered the fight. I was not accepted. I was not. My name was not approved. I'm not sure at what stage and by whom it got turned down, but I was not approved for the fight.
And
I was not, you know, I was not considered by the higher upperkeys, so to say, for that fight.
In Arturo's camp, you mean?
I have no idea. That's just what I was told, you know. Yes.
No, go ahead.
Arturo is a great fighter, and you know, it would have been a great honor to be in the ring with him. You know, he's and obviously his last fight, he has seen his better days, so it would have been a great opportunity, you know, for me to get my name out there.
Right, exactly. A few weeks ago on our site, we posted the video, which came from is an excerpt from the documentary, which I'll ask you about in just a second. Of it was 2.5 years ago when you walked out before your NABA junior welterweight bout with Matis Siahu, who's another kind of, you know, in the entertainment world, someone at your level, probably one of the most unbelievable ring entrances we've ever seen. And we might be a little biased due to our background as well, but what is your relationship like with him? Was that just a one-time thing? Are you guys friends? We're just curious about all that.
It's interesting that you brought that up because, you know, ever since that fight, everyone that's been there told me that they really, really enjoyed it, and it was one of the best sporting events they've been to, whether they're boxing fans or not. And you know, I'm very happy that Matis Siahu agreed to do it. Matis Siahu and I are friends. You know, he travels a lot and he has many, many engagements, so we can't, you know, stay in touch as much. I don't see him as much as I did, you know, before. But you know, when he has an opportunity, I'm sure that he'll do another one of my fights, and it's going to be great. I mean, Matis Siahu is, you know, when I'm in training camp, I put on his CD and he gives me great inspiration. You know, he's a great artist and he comes from a similar background that I come from.
You need to promise us that if not in your next fight, in one coming up soon, if you're going to be on HBO or Showtime, that you need to come out with Matis Siahu to fully cement the fact that Dimitri Salida has arrived, because I think once everyone sees that, they'll be blown away. It's an unbelievable moment seeing you both come out, and very inspiring.
Thank you. I agree. It's one of my dreams, and I think, you know, it'll be a tremendous moment, and it's something that I dream about and look forward to with great anticipation. Hopefully, you know, in the near future with Gavin Reese.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, before I let you go, I want to just talk to you quickly about your documentary that was based on your career and your life. It's called Orthodox Stance, and you know, gets great accolades from whomever sees it. It's an unbelievable film for boxing fans and non-boxing fans alike. What was the whole impetus behind this? So you were approached due to your background to be followed to make this documentary, and then it just kind of evolved from there.
It's interesting because Jason Hutt, who's the movie maker, the guy that made the film, he read about me in a Washington Post article that came out about 5 years ago, and he contacted my rabbi, and you know, he told me that he plans to film me for a week just to make a short film, and you know, we agreed that he would come to the gym and he found me for a little bit, and a week turned into 2 weeks and 3 weeks and a month turns into years. And, you know, Jason became part of the team, and that's why he was able to get some of that very private footage, interesting footage in the gym, and even, you know, seeing it on the screen, it's awkward a little bit because, you know, we got so used to Jason that you don't realize that, or, you know, that other people are going to see that stuff. But I'm very happy with the film. You know, I think it kind of shows the struggle of most boxers coming up in terms of the face, the things that they face outside the ring. And, you know, has some great stars, Floyd Mayweather, Bob Arum, Miguel Cotto. So it's a star-studded film, and I think boxing fans are going to enjoy it.
Where can boxing fans see this film? Is it going to be out in theaters, DVD?
It's going to be in theaters in New York City starting January 26th, I believe, in limited theaters. And then it's going to come out on DVD, and it's going to also come out in theaters in certain cities. But to get more information, you go to www.orthodoxfans.com, and it'll let you know when it's playing next in the town near you.
All right, great. Okay, Dimitri, before we let you go, so you say you want to fight, you know, in February, hopefully get that fight with Gavin Reese and maybe even Ricky Hatton down the road. What are you looking for in 2008? How many times should we expect you to fight, hopefully more than 2007? And what are your goals, you know, this time next year?
Listen, I'd like to fight 4 or 5 times in the next year. I truly believe that my time has arrived. I feel that I'm the best junior welterweight in the world. I'm not going to be a junior welterweight for much longer, you know, but my plan is to win a title in this weight and then move up to welterweight. And I think that my time has arrived. You know, I'm ready to take on all the biggest names in boxing. And I just want to make a name for myself and make history. That's always been my plan and my dream since I'm a little boy. And I will not be denied. I work very hard. And then I look forward, to accomplishing my dreams.
All right. And when you do find out about that next bout, definitely come back to the park to let us know who it's going to be against and where, because, we're all dying to see you back in the ring. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, and best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you. To you as well. Thank you.